God's awesome all the time. That's right. Yep. Praise God, praise God. There was this in this foreign country. DC, can you fix these lights, buddy? These lights up here, how this will be fixed. There in some foreign country, a priest and a lawyer and an engineer were about to, not that one. All right, Rudolph, turn that down. I remember Rudolph, Santa Claus said, turn it down. All right. In the foreign country, there was a priest and a lawyer and an engineer, and they were about to face the guillotine. And the priest puts his head on the block, and they pull the rope, and nothing happens. He declares he's been saved by divine intervention, so he's let go. The lawyer puts his head on the block, and again, the rope doesn't release the blade, so he claims he can't be executed twice for the same crime, so he's set free. Then they grab the engineer. The engineer shoves his head on the guillotine. He looks up at the release mechanism and says, wait a minute, I see your problem. Okay, crickets. I'm hearing crickets, all right? Have I ever known somebody to be so eager to be right they didn't realize it was cutting his own throat? All right, how about this? The other day I was sitting there in the living room. I told my wife, I said, just so you know, I never want to live in a vegetative state dependent on some machine. If that ever happens, just pull the plug. So she got up and unplugged the television. Okay. A little better. Amen. Amen. The Lord, like I said, last week while we were talking, I began to think about something, and this really hit kind of hard. And so I want us to go here. And I want us to see this. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. God's awesome. All the time. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now again, this just, as we were preaching last week about the safe place, this came strongly, and So I'm trying to follow the leading of the Lord here. Somebody, I believe with all my heart, I hope everybody, but especially somebody, is really going to need this. Now, how would you like to have somebody come to your funeral and say at your funeral, he was a great man and he died as a fool? How many would like that? It seems like David's cutting down somebody, but he's not. Matter of fact, David is talking about something a little bit different. So we're going to go here. Y'all stand for the reading of the word, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 31, and David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird yourself with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier, or followed the coffin. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Wow. He's not cutting him down. Let me just let you know ahead of time, he's not cutting him down. Thy hands were not bound, neither were their feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept and mourned, or wept over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me, and moreover, if I taste bread or else till the sun be down. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you've got your hands on our pulses. You know where we're at. You know where we've been. You know what we're going through. God, you know us better than we even know ourselves. There's someone here right now, I honestly believe, Lord, that they have been hit so hard below the belt, or they have been stressed so far beyond their means to be stressed. At least that's what they think. And Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, to help us, God, to see, to understand that you are in ultimate control and that you've got our back. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Give us somebody a high five again. High five, low five, no five. Amen. God is awesome all the time. Now, again, here's David. He's at his funeral. He's at General Abner's funeral, and he says he's died He's crying. He's hurt, beyond hurt. David is killing him. And he says he died. It's a fool. Wow. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that can be in that same boat that Abner was in. You see, there was Abner and there was Joab. You see, the story starts that there was a divided kingdom. The kingdom of God had once been together, now it's apart. And as it is apart, is a very divided kingdom. One man has set himself up on the throne, King Ishbosheth. He has set himself up on the throne. David has been crowned king of Judah. Now Israel, of course, Israel, the northern kingdom, had a general Abner. Now, General Abner, he was an awesome man. He was a powerful man. Matter of fact, this man here was a mighty swordsman. This man here he would have been superstar, so to speak. He'd have been super soldier. He would have been Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was an awesome dude. He had his act together. He was a man of valor. He was a man of dignity, and he sought to please God. And he wanted the kingdom to come back together. He saw the division. He saw that the division had to stop. And so he's wanting to put the kingdom back together. But the problem is, he's so eager to put the kingdom back together that he doesn't use his head. I mean, here, you're so eager to see God move sometimes that you kind of help him out. Amen? Okay, then there's Judah's general, Joab. Joab is arrogant. He's one-sided. He's deceitful. He's David's general. And David knows this man is not a good man, and he seeks to please himself. And so as long as there's division, he can reign. As long as there's division, he can be the man. As long as there's division, as long as there's problems, he can handle the situation because that's where he wants it to be at. So now watch this. Abner, of course, who is that? Who? Hercules. Yeah, okay. We don't mind. It ain't little Abner, that's right. Definitely ain't little Abner, amen. Okay. So Abner, now I want y'all to listen carefully to this now. Listen so close. This came to me last week. It hit me hard. I mean, I was standing right here. I was preaching, and all of a sudden, Abner, that is a fool, hit me as hard as it could hit me. And I'm not kidding. It almost knocked me down. And I said, okay, Lord, then this will be it this week. Listen, he's destined to change history, but he was cut down in his prime. There's people in here today. You are destined to change history in your family, on your work, in church, in the kingdom of God. But if you're not careful, you're going to be cut down in your prime. You see, at the point where he could make a difference, he died needlessly. Watch this. Please watch this. And this is what's happening to some of us. It tries to happen every day to all of us, okay? So there's nobody in here who goes, ain't me. Matter of fact, don't even say, well, ain't me. Sit back and say, God, if I'm going through this now, help me to see this. If in order for evil to rise up, good has to lay down. Wow. That can be happening in your own personal life. That can be happening in your spirit. The evil rise up while the good is being pushed down. There's things that you want to do, you could do. You see, the devil will attack us. Watch this. He attacks us at our point of commitment. He attacks us at our point of praise. And he attacks us big time at our point of potential. He sees our potential. And so some of y'all are under attack now because some of you are under attack because of where you were, where you've been. He's beating you up with the past. Some of y'all are under attack now because you're trying your best to live for God and you're trying to let God control your life. But most of us are under attack, not only for our past and our present, but we're under attack for our future. Hey, we're under attack, not from where we are, but we're under attack for where we're going. You see, you can't necessarily see where you're going. You can't even see spiritually like the devil can. The devil's a spirit. He can see ahead a lot farther than you can down the road. And he sees it, and so he tries to attack you, bring you down before you ever get a chance to really get started. That's a powerful, powerful thought. So now watch this. The Bible says in verse 33, when Abner died, the Bible says that the king, David, he lamented over Abner, and he said, Abner died as a fool dieth. Now, he's not cutting David's not cutting Abner down. He's not. What he was saying is, this is a very needless death. There's been times when I found myself under attack, and I found myself actually getting the wool pulled over my eyes by Satan or by the world, and I find myself going in the wrong direction, and then I think about that thing. This is needless. Why am I letting Satan get the best of me over this? Why am I letting him stress me out over something I can't do a thing about anyway? And so you find yourself, if you're not careful, remember, here's fool. That word fool means to be in vain, needless, useless. It serves no purpose, especially for the kingdom of God. The only one that's going to win in this is Satan. Now, there's many of us here today. We are destined to change history. Not only are we destined to change history, but if we're not careful, we'll get cut down in our prime. Matter of fact, at the point where we could make a difference, instead of a difference being made, a tombstone is planted. Wow. That's a very powerful thought. When my wife died and we put the tombstone down, it was a double tombstone and my name's on the other side. And one thing that really brought reality to me is when I saw her name there and I saw she was born in 62 and she died in 2001. And then I look over there and see David Linton born in 1959. But it wasn't a death day. The day I saw that tombstone, I had a reckoning with myself. Wow. I'd heard about them, seen them, preached funerals for folks, but to see my name on the tombstone. And I said, God, spiritually, don't ever let my name wind up on the tombstone. Emotionally, don't ever let my name wind up on that tombstone. And until that last date is put in there, let me handle that little bitty line in the middle that says from 59 until. Let me feel that so full of what God has for me to do that when that other number pops up, they can say, he fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. And so sometimes we'll find ourselves dying needlessly because remember, we don't realize, I put it down there twice so we can think about this thing. We don't realize that when an evil doesn't have to be the devil with a pitchfork. Sometimes evil is just doing it our way. Remember, evil is not always Satan coming and throwing alcohol and drugs and all that at you. Sometimes it's just, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. And we don't necessarily may say it out loud, but we're meaning it. My way is better. I like that sign, that church sign that said, my way is the highway, God. Amen? So now, here we go again. I don't want that to be me. I don't want my gun turned upside down and my helmet put up there. See, people die needlessly physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I can guarantee you know somebody right now. And if you be truthful, it may even be you. That you were spiritually, emotionally, or physically physically, you wouldn't be in here right now, but spiritually and emotionally, you were on life support. You're in here right now listening, and you're thinking, man, he must have been riding with me this week. Man, he must have come in my house. He must have been with me at work. He must be riding down the road listening to me talk to myself. No, it's not me. The Holy Spirit. Because like I said, standing right here, the Lord told me there's people on life support and they need to be out of intensive care and put back out on the field. Wow. And so again, a lot of times people's hearts stop beating and the dream dies within them. Oh, they still look good. They still got fancy hairdos and fancy dresses and fancy cars and all this. And they got all this going for them. They're looking good. They're sounding good. But if you could see inside, when they walked up here to the altar, they're toting a IV bottle. And it's hooked in them. And they got a monitor and it's going boop. And Satan's going, that's all right. I got you. I got you where I want you. And you don't even realize what I'm doing to you. Wow. And so look. Here, watch this. How did he die needlessly? What did he do that caused him to die? This is an awesome man. This is like the Hulk. This is like Superman. Abner was like, back in that day, he was Superman. How did he get kryptonite thrown at him? What did he do? He was like Batman. He was like, just think of all the superheroes. Captain America. That's Abner. He's an awesome man. David really needs him to help bring unity back into the kingdom. So what happened that made this man die for no reason? Well, first, how many's ever got a, matter of fact, you probably get many of them now. You get a letter from some place in India, Pakistan, or somewhere that says, and they spell your name wrong. And you get this thing saying, please respond to this letter. I've got $30 million and your name's on it. I want to send it to you. If you put your name and the stuff that they want and information, you're going to be in trouble. It's a setup. Watch this. Joab, the reason Joab died needlessly is he accepted an unauthorized letter. The Bible says in verse 26, Joab sent messengers after Abner when he brought him again to the well of Siar, but David knew it not. Joab wants to get Abner out of the way because Joab knows that if the kingdom comes together, he's lost it. If the kingdom comes together and is back unit again, he's going to be under Abner. Abner's going to be in control because Abner's a better general than he is. He knows that David wants him. So he says, in order for me to get Abner and take him down, I've got to fool him. So he sends him a letter, and Abner's so eager to see God's kingdom pulled together again. He's so eager to see God move in his life that he hears this, his ears pop up, he gets excited, and he accepts the letter. The only problem is if the king ever sent a letter, it would have a wax seal with the king's signet upon it. This didn't happen because David knew it not. Wow. Think about that. No seal. You know, Abner should have known better. We should know better. Too many times we become emotion based. I do it. In the heat of the moment, the emotions are flying hard. And while the emotions are flying hard, you're stressed out. You can barely even breathe. And somebody comes up to you and they don't even realize they're the last straw. And so they come up and they say something to you, and here you go. Your emotions get the best of you, and you become emotion-based. And instead of following the word, you follow what feels good. I don't feel good. It ain't about feelings. It's nothing about feelings. If it was about feelings, some of y'all wouldn't even be up here today. If it was about feelings, you'd be somewhere else. If you'd be out under a tree somewhere or out playing golf or out fishing or just sleeping in. If it was about feelings. It's not about feelings. If it was about feelings, then a lot of us, we would have other directions in our life. It's not about how we feel. It's about what we know about God. No seal. David didn't know it, but he was so eager to see God move that he moved ahead of God. I do it periodically. If y'all don't, somebody come take this clicker and finish this thing. We're so eager. We got to have it, God. that our emotions blind us. I had to do a paper on thinking the other day in psychology. And in the paper, at first I had to take this big old long test. Was I an emotion-based thinker or was I a logical-based thinker? And when I took the test, I come out I was a logical-based thinker. And I had to write up on a paper. I had to write an essay. And as I wrote an essay about logical-based versus emotional-based thinking, I just put right on in there. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things. Can't trust always what you're feeling, but I can trust what I know about His Word. I can always trust this. Amen? You see, I hear people say, well, I haven't heard from God lately. Have you opened your book? Because every time you open this book, you hear from God. I believe you hear from God when you just read the Holy Bible. I've already heard from God. The table of contents are inspired. When I read this word, it's God talking to me. It's His expressed will. That's what the word is, His expressed will. And so because you have His expressed will, then you can know His word. So the first thing was He accepted this unauthorized letter. The Bible tells us about the days that we live in. Matter of fact, this is what the Bible says about the days we live in. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap up themselves teachers having itching ears. My ears are itching. I got to have something. Tell me something, God. But if it's not agreeing with my feelings, then we got a problem, God. Got nothing to do with feelings. Nothing. Somebody says it's got nothing to do with feelings. You know, I remember Oreo Speedwagon. How many remember Oreo Speedwagon? Yeah. I used to call them Oreo Speedwagon. Every time I heard them, I wanted to have a cookie. Then I realized it was REO, Speedwagon, amen. And they had this song, I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore. Oh man, that was an awesome song. But that would not be a good praise and worship song. Amen. You see, watch this. Here's what the world wants. I was watching one of those preachers this morning on television. Here's what the world wants. Power without responsibility. Power without accountability. They want God to move in their life, but I'm not going to be accountable to God. I'm not going to be responsible to God. I just want to feel good. Amos 8:11 says in the last day there's going to be a famine in the land, and the famine is going to be for the word. Romans 10:17 says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God. That's why Satan don't want you in church. He don't want you to hear the preached word of God. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Watch this. That word evidence means title deed. Always examine the deed. Here's the deed. Examine it. When you're feeling funny, when you're not feeling good, there's times, you know, like last night. But yesterday I worked on this sermon. From the time I got up around 6 o'clock, 6:30, I worked on this sermon till about 3 o'clock. When I got through this sermon, I went to to one of the cookouts, and then I come back home, and then I did psychology homework. Then I worked on the sermon some more. Then I did psychology homework, and I said, it'd really be cool just to lay back in a chair and turn on the music and just chill. There's no time. At 1 o'clock this morning, I sent my final essay. I'm not telling you that so you can say, oh, poor pastor. I don't say that at all. I'm saying is, there's times where you don't go by feelings. You know it has to be done. Get it done. That had to be done. And so it was done. The same way, when God's got something going, we have to understand. Remember, follow His word. His word. So first, He accepted an unauthorized letter. Secondly, that's the place. It was a city of refuge. Hebron is a city of refuge. So he met in an unauthorized place. For the Bible tells us, watch this. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak to him quietly. In other words, he took him outside the gate. Just close enough to feel like he's there, but just far enough away that he could have his way with him. Please stop and listen. That's where Satan wants us. Just close enough that we can get that feeling. Just close enough that we can kind of in there, but just far enough away that he can take us and beat us and beat us and beat us and beat us. And so this is what's happening. See, when Abner, he took him outside the gate to talk to him quietly. Hebron, a city of refuge. The city of refuge was awesome. There was plenty of those cities of refuge. Outside anything goes. Inside there's no weapons. There's a place of shelter, a place of safety, a place of peace. And he got him right there at the gate where he would have been safe and pulled him just around the side to talk to him. Watch out. Satan loves us to be just about there. Just far enough away that he can do what he wants to do with us. You see, Hebron is a symbol of the church. Look at that. See that? See that, the waves crashing and that lighthouse just hanging in there. That lighthouse has been there for hundreds of years. You see, there's no other place like the church. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of community. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of discipleship. And Satan would love to keep you from around people. I like what Brandon said about how there was that all in one accord when you're all together. I can worship by myself. Yes, I can. I get down the road sometimes and I know people see me and think I'm having an absolute breakdown. I saw somebody one day that said, I was behind somebody worshiping. We pulled over and they hadn't pulled over. I was pulling over. And they said, wow, were you fussing at our driving or were you fussing over your phone? I said, fussing? What are you talking about? They said you had your hands raised. And said you just kept opening your mouth real wide. And said you were really laying out somebody. And I said, oh. I said, you mistook me. I said, I was worshiping God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they thought I was going, get out of the way, you dummy. You can't drive. And I didn't even see him in front of me. I was going, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. So remember, he met in this unauthorized meeting place. If you're not careful, Satan wants us to meet him on our own ground. And if we meet him on our own ground, that's his ground because he works through the flesh. And so if he meets us on our own ground in the flesh, then he's going to win. You will not win. You will not win. But you know what? When you worship, when you're with him, when you've got God, when you stick with God. And remember, the church is not the building. The church is, this right here is where we meet. We're the church. Amen? And let me tell you something about the church. When you're in the church, when you're letting God call the shots, you're listening to God, you're not in an unauthorized meeting place. The devil can't get in. Why? Because you got to be blood-bought. He can attack, but he can't destroy you. How many's been attacked lately? And you walked in today. Amen? Some of you, if you could actually see, some of you did come in with the IV bottle. Some came, if you could see spiritual, some of you came in with the bandage on your head and you look like the... Some of you came in dragging a leg. I mean, no, you can't see it. We don't see it, but God sees it. You've been beat up during the week. You've been fighting. You've had to hold your ground. The Bible says, having done all to stand in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand. There's been a many time I did everything within my power to stand, did everything he said, and the devil kept coming. Like those two men were in the field, and they're walking in the field, and all of a sudden this big old bull comes charging him, and they're trying to get out, and they know they can't outrun that bull, and they run as hard as they can run. And the guy said, you better say something. Talk to God or something. One was an atheist, that was a Christian. He said, the atheist told the Christian, you better say something to God. Help us out here. And all he could remember was he was in a hurry. He was running from the bull. He couldn't think of anything else. And so he said, all he could think about was the night before. And he said, Lord, for what I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful. Matthew 6 and 18 says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, one thing we got to remember, the gates of hell are stationary. Satan will come out that gate. He'll come out of the gate like a bull. But you know what? What it's saying is the very strongest, the very most powerful that Satan's got can't destroy you. if you'll trust God. You may be battered. You may be worn. I can tell you something else. We're not perfect. I mean, here's perfect. 1, 2, I'm playing. Nobody's raised their hand. Like the preacher said that time, said there's no one perfect, and that was Jesus. And the man in the back raised his hand. He said, "Sir, can I help you?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "There was one more perfect man." He said, "No, there was only Jesus." He said, "There was another perfect man." He said, "Who was it?" He said, "My wife's first husband." I'm getting ready to close. That one had to sink in, didn't it? All right. He got a hold of an unauthorized letter, no seal. He met in an unauthorized place. Instead of being right here inside the gates, he was outside the gates where the weapons were still there to use against him. Please, don't be right there at the door and let Satan keep you at the door where he can beat you. No, you can still hear it. You can still see it. But you're in the wrong place. You're at that door. You need to get in, because right there he could attack. And then finally, and I'm closing, he gave into an unauthorized surrender. Didn't even fight. Didn't even stand up for himself. The Bible says that he was actually beaten by an inferior swordsman. How many watch Batman versus Superman? It's out on DVD now. I never thought that Batman would beat Superman. He was whipping him. He about took him down, Superman. Well, you know it's going to be there if it's going to be a movie. But you know how he about beat him? Because he didn't know that Super Batman had kryptonite. But Batman gets rid of kryptonite, and Superman just beats him. I know, that's a spoiler, I know, so spoiler alert. Abner was better than that. Abner was stronger than that. Abner was wiser than that. Abner was skilled. He knew what to do. But he got the unauthorized letter, so the meeting was arranged. He went in an unauthorized place just outside the gate. So close, but yet so far. And then he thinks this guy's being his friend, and when he goes to talk to him, there he goes. You see, he didn't try to protect himself. He weren't bound. He didn't think he needed to. He was so eager to see God move. Psalm 78:9 says, Ephraim armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. They had it, but they were afraid because of all that was coming at them. Too many times we lose our fight. Or too many times we just get tired of the struggle. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Matter of fact, I refuse. I refuse. Oh, there's times I can't do a thing about the battle. There's times I can't do a thing about what's going on. But if I put it in God's hands, I don't have to worry about it, because it's going to come out all right in the end. But you know what? Fight the good fight of faith. You see, sometimes, oh, this is so awesome. Sometimes you got to get knocked down lower than you've ever been to stand up taller than you ever were. I'm going to read that one again. Y'all say that with me. Sometimes you have to get knocked down lower than you've ever been to stand up taller than you ever were. Wow. I've had a few of those experiences. How about you? Get back up. When you get back up in His Word. Get back up in His church. Get back up in His strength. In other words, Word. In His expressed will, the church fellowship, discipleship, and in His Spirit, in His power. As the guys are coming up, get ready to play something. I'm going to just do one more. When we talk about falling spiritually and talking about falling to Joabs, everybody's got Joabs in their life. We want to put it as some great big old spiritual thing. And sometimes it's just a heartbreak. Your heart's breaking, your heart's aching. You don't understand what's going on around you. You wish you could change it. You can't. And your Joab, at one time, had been your Abner. You don't understand. Your source of great strength in somebody or something has become a source of great pain. You don't understand. You wish you could. You wish you knew what to say. And now your heart's broke. When this stuff happens, remember that every heartbreak and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. God. You wouldn't be here this morning if you hadn't carried you. You wouldn't be here this morning, even listen to this message, if you weren't destined and you listened, destined to be here. Not a time for surrender. It's not a time to give up hope. It's not a time to do it your way. It's time to trust God. I mean, really trust God. He's got something for you. And remember, Satan attacks you at your point of commitment. So, if you're married, that's a point of commitment. He'll attack you there. If you have committed yourself to Jesus, he's going to attack you there. If you're committed to your job, he'll attack you there. At your point of commitment, he will attack you. Number two, he'll attack you at your point of praise. What brings you happiness? What brings you peace? He will attack to try to take that peace away. To take that praise away. Again, that could be in your family. That could be in just your walk with God. I went in the other day and I said, I was way behind and I was trying to work on a Bible study for the church that night. And so I was in the hospital. So I left out the hospital. I said, God, I got to have 5 minutes. Can I get 5 minutes, Lord? I didn't know who's going to take that literal. Because I stopped in Starbucks. And by the time my jalopy computer warmed up, somebody came on this side. Somebody came on this side. This side that we're going, can you please talk to me? I'm having problems. And nobody, y'all wouldn't know any of them. Some of them I didn't even know. I mean, they were just coming out of the woodwork. And I was thinking, Lord, I said 5 minutes. That's what I got. Because the rest of the time I was ministering, which is fine. I said, Lord, I'm ministering. Thank you, Lord, that you give me the opportunity to minister. And then go home. And I said, now, Lord, I need about 10 minutes because I got to get this done. And the phone rings. And here it goes again. That's the way life is, period. But you have to trust God in the middle of it all. You have to trust him in the middle of the battle. He said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit will raise a standard. What does that mean? When you're fighting a battle, listen carefully. Back especially in those days, there was a lot of hand-to-hand combat. And when you're fighting a battle, the way they would win the battle is the people with the most soldiers won. Think about the Civil War when they were attacking in the field. Usually, not all the time, but usually the people that had, if you were outnumbered, the ones that outnumbered them would win. War was not who won. War was who had the least amount of deaths. That's who won. And so they're out there fighting. There's blood. There's all kinds of things flowing. There's dust. You see here people yelling, screaming, guys laying on the floor, on the ground. They've got swords and they got arrows in them, and they're screaming. And you feel like they've just come in like a flood. You don't even know who to fight because you're lost in all the fog. And the Bible says when that happens, and it happens to us more than we'd like to admit, it says the Spirit will raise that standard, that flag, so you know where to rally to, so you know where to go, or you know where to follow. There it is. That's why we come in here every week. That's why you read it every day. Because when the enemy's got you where you can't even think, look in here, and he'll get you to the rally point. He'll get you in the right direction. He'll keep you in the directions where you will not be taken down. Trust God. I want everybody to stand. Your point of commitment, your point of praise. And your point of potential. You start learning about God and your potential gets greater. You start studying the Word, your potential gets greater. You start worshiping God, your potential gets greater. And as your potential gets greater, He'll attack. Because He sees more in it for you than you do. And you become a threat. Everybody's hit from it. I know this might not have been the most shouty message, but it definitely was a meaty message. Meaty and needy. Needed. Don't accept an unauthorized letter. Don't meet in an unauthorized meeting place. And don't give up. God's got you. God's done something special in your life. God wants to use you more than you ever imagined. He wants to use you more than you want Him to use you. His plans are so big for you, if you could see them, they would boggle your mind. If He told you what you'd be doing this week coming up, the next year coming up, the next decade coming up, you would try to make it happen, or you would think it couldn't happen, and you would mess it all up. So God says, I want to walk by faith day by day by day. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Here's all I want you to do. When nobody's looking around, I want you praying. You can be looking up, look down, wherever you want to look. Just don't look around everybody else. I want you to close those eyes. And I want you to thank God for strength for the upcoming days. We got a crazy election going on. We got crazy mess happening in the government. We got crazy mess happening with all these terror attacks. Now in Munich, another terror attack is constant now. They got some guys from ISIS down in Florida. There's no telling where the next one's going to pop up. I don't want to be a Joab. I want to be an Abner. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch every person in here. Lord, if they're on IVs, heal them so they don't need those IVs anymore. If they're bandaged up, got cast on spiritually, mentally, emotionally, touch them right now. Bless them, Lord. Heal them so they can walk out of here free. Lord, if there's anybody in here, Lord, that is giving up in an unauthorized surrender, or maybe they've already given up, give them back their fight. Lord, we need you more today than we've ever needed you. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help us grab a hold of a fresh anointing in you. All that will, y'all come up here and pray. I'm just going to say, y'all just come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. I can see IV bags falling down. I can see casts breaking off. I can see bandages coming off. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. Help me not to give in by reading the wrong letter. Help me not get in. Let me look for the seal. Help me, God, not to give in and meet in an unauthorized place. Help me, God, not to give into an unauthorized surrender. Help me, God. 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 Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got everything under control. Everything is under control. Everything is under control. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. God, help me look for the seal. Lord, help me look for the seal. Help me not be at the door, but not in, Lord. Help me, God, to be all the way in, Lord. Help me, God, Lord, not to give into an unauthorized surrender. Lord, you're awesome. You're powerful, God. Everything is within your power, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Father. We trust you, Lord. Glory!
Desire to live for Jesus.
Come on, son. Come on.
It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, often I fail.
Come on.
It caused Him so much shame.
Yes, glory.
It's my desire to live for Him. No, if you can see,
come on,
where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Oh, you can take this world, its wealth and riches. Well, I don't need us fame. It's my desire.
No surrender. No surrender.
To live for Him. It's my desire to help someone day, someone who had made mistakes just like I did. Though often I failed Him, it caused Him so much shame. It's my desire to live for Him. Lord, you can see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Well, you can take this world, its wealth and riches, and I don't need us fame. It's my desire to live for Him.
God's awesome. All the time. How many want to be a Abner? Not mean a dies as a fool, even before he died. How many wants to be an Abner? Yeah, I want to be an Abner. I want to see God's kingdom promoted. I want to see God do something. I want to see something powerful in this last day. Now, in order for us to see it, we cannot accept an unauthorized letter. Make sure it's the word. We cannot meet an unauthorized meeting place. Don't meet the devil in his territory. You get in here and meet him in God. Number three, do not give up. So you blew it. How many's blown it lately? Guess what? That's why we need grace. Grace. Without grace, we'd all just forget it. Shut the doors, padlock it. Without grace, I thank God for grace. Last song we sang, Amazing Grace. God has something very special for all of us. You just got to trust Him. Keep on standing. If you got knocked down, get back up. Remember, Satan counts how many times you fail and reminds you of it. God doesn't count how many times you fail. He counts how many times you got back up and applauds Him. So are you going to listen to God's applause, or are you going to listen to Satan beat you up? I want to hear my father. When my boys learn how to walk, when they learn how to walk, they come to me and they take three steps and fall on their bottom. Did I fuss at them? No, I say, come on, you're doing good. Try it again. Just think about this. God's in heaven. You may be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and you fell on your back end today. He's saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Satan's saying, oh, stay down there. You don't even belong. You don't even belong with God. Don't listen to him. God says, come on, come on, come on. Grace says, come on. Tuesday night, we're talking about identity. It's really awesome. Come, check it out. And remember, coming up soon, we're going to be offering a little six-week lay ministry certificate. But you got to be here to get it. So come on, if you can't move, if you have to miss a night, that's okay. We'll work it around and work you in there so you can be in it, because you got to get the hours in order to get it. God's awesome. All the time. Brother Steve now, he's awesome because he had his heart worked on last week, and they shocked it, and then they burned it, and they done all kinds of things. I mean, he's like, see, if you'd gone down to the redneck doctor, he'd have had it up on the grill. And burn it. And then he's out mowing the grass. He's awesome. He said he wish he hadn't, right? But he's out mowing the grass. And look, Brother Steve, dismiss us in prayer, please.